the book of Daniel. I will refer to it, but just as I would be able to preach to you from Isaiah 53 from the New Testament, I could preach to you from Acts chapter 8 when the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53 without ever reading Isaiah 53. In like manner, I am able to preach to you about Daniel outside the book of Daniel. Look at verse 14 in Ezekiel 14. So these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Verse 20. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they should deliver neither son nor daughter. They should but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Now, some brother tell me where else I'm going to read. Turn to chapter 28. Chapter 28. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre. Verse 3, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. Where am I going to read next? Turn to Matthew 24. Verse 15, when therefore you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand, and so forth. Now, one other reference I want to read to you. Is there any brother who knows where that one would be? Well, you turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. And tell me if I'm right. Hebrews 11, verse 32, what shall I say more? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I wonder to whom that refers. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the integrity, the unity of the Word of God. We are so glad that whereas we openly confess that there are those who are wise, who are gifted, who know much more technically about the things of Scripture than we are thankful, our God, that thou hast made it possible for the most of us. You have said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. We are thankful that you have made it possible for babes and sucklings to understand that thy word is truth. We rejoice in this. Our God, thy goodness is so great. We thank you for it. And we desire to understand somewhat about Daniel. So by thy Spirit, illumine us. Prepare hearts and lips. And our Father, we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. God enabled me to purchase a home for some 15 years, and I've been enjoying living in that home. I admit whom I please, and whom I please, I arrange for them not to come into my home. But let me ask you, what if some person looking so important came to my home and said, this is not your home. Out. Have I acquiesced and said, all right, I will leave. But then I thought of it and I said, by what authority do you do this? Show me proof that this is not my home. and he brought out a paper and showed it to me. And I examined his paper, and then I examined the title deed that I have for my home. What would you think of me if the title deed that was validated was guaranteed to be mine as I've enjoyed it for over 15 years, if I should toss it aside and believe this forged paper that this man brought and showed to me, and I was displaced out of my home, and I was living on the streets, roaming from place to place? What did you think? You would say you would be a fool, and I would agree with you wholeheartedly. Well, how many of you have enjoyed the book of Daniel from the time you were children? I have. I remember the stories of Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace, the handwriting on the wall. You've enjoyed all of those things. Well, suppose someone comes and says, I'm sorry, you cannot have that book anymore. It is not a part of the Word of God. And he sets before you important documents. He shows you his degrees. He shows you his reasoning powers. And he says, for that reason, this book is not yours. You can enjoy it no longer. This is what has happened to some of God's dear children. And it is similar to my acceptance of a man coming to me after I've been enjoying my home for over 14 years, showing me a forged paper that has no validity, that would cancel out my valid paper of ownership. And I leave the house and I roam the streets, and the comforts and security, the times I thank God for a shelter over my head, all of those things are gone. And yet this is what has happened to ever so many of God's people, because the modern critics have come and told you, do you not realize that Daniel is a forgery? It was not written when it was purported to have been written, but it was written hundreds of years later. And all of these prophecies that you tell me about, showing me that it is inspired, that it is a work of great value, of course these prophecies are right. Don't you know why? Because the man who wrote the so-called prophecy of Daniel did not look to the future and prophesy. He looked back on history and then cunningly devised tables and wrote out the book of Daniel and pretended to be Daniel, and it somehow got into the Bible, and it wasn't actually written when it purportedly was written, and therefore it's not a prophecy at all. Tell me, what do you think of a man who would tell you that? That's what the modern critic tells you. He would not accept the book of Daniel that has been so precious to so many of us, even those that are not believers. They've heard the stories of Daniel, and yet as they grow up, they would say, well, I think perhaps some of them may be overstated, but they would take the book of Daniel away from us. But in my prayer, I said this, that there is a unity to the Word of God. And God has made it possible for us to see that Daniel is by the man whose name it bears, and it was written as a prophecy, and we may accept it today as wholeheartedly as we did in our innocence before we were exposed to modern critics who said, do you believe in the book of Daniel? It is not a prophecy. It is history. It is something devised by the cunning of men. I tell you, from the portions that I have read, God has shown us the unity and the integrity of the Word of God, and that Daniel is an integral part of the Word of God, and it is to be embraced and treasured as a prophecy upon which so much of our hope is based. You must understand that. I read, first of all, the confirmation of Daniel from the prophecy of Ezekiel. You understand? They say Daniel wasn't written by Daniel, and yet even many of the severest critics will tell you, Well, Ezekiel was written at an ancient time, and we say it was. Then, if Ezekiel was written in an ancient time, did you notice that Ezekiel spoke of Noah in the book of Genesis, and Daniel by the prophecy of his name, and Job by the book bearing his name? Did you notice that? Well, they have an answer for you. They say yes. They say Noah's name should be there, and Job's name should be there, but someone at a later age interpolated Daniel and put it there, and it shouldn't be there at all. Isn't that remarkable? You give them evidence, and they look at the evidence, and they have no proof of it because the text bears the name Noah, Daniel, and Job, and they look at it and they say, well, if we accept this scripture, then we are confounded. It must mean that Daniel is by the man who purportedly wrote it, and we have to accept it. Therefore, it must be that somebody put in this name of Daniel in Ezekiel, and so we will take it out. And therefore, if these two men, not three men, if Noah and Job were in a city, that's the way they deal. And some of them are prepared to go this far. They see it, and they are ever so wise in quickly grasping the outcome of an argument. And they know that if they accept the book of Ezekiel, then they must accept the book of Daniel. And so some will say, well, Ezekiel wasn't written at the time. It was supposed to be written as well. And so they'll take Ezekiel away from you, and they will take Daniel away from you. And what happens is this. It would be the same as my walking the streets, whereas I have a paper, the title deed in my hand saying, this house is yours. You may stay there. You do not have to forsake Daniel and Ezekiel because someone greater than Ezekiel has confirmed that the book of Daniel indeed is by Daniel, and that is our Savior. That is why I read to you in Matthew 24. You look at it again. Look at it now. Matthew 24. Verse 15. Our Savior is giving this Olivet discourse, and he says, when therefore you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, you see the foundation now upon which we build. I tell you this, I am not like some, but there are men like Robert Dick Wilson. There are men of learning who can attack these critics who would take Daniel away from us, meet them on their own ground, linguistically, historically, geographically. They know all of these things. I confess that the little I know about the original languages, why, I could not defend myself in the least linguistically against these men. But I thank God that whereas there are not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble, God probably has ignorant and unlearned fishermen like Peter and John. At the same time, he has a brilliant man like Paul as well. And whereas most of us are simple, childlike believers, and we embrace the Word of God and enjoy it, at times God raises up men like Robert Dick Wilson, like Pusey, like Gifford. He raises up giants that can confound these men on their own ground. And I thank God for that. There are those who can show you the same way that the modern critics say, we can show you it's not valid. There are those who have equal and superior intelligence and education who can show you that they cannot disprove the book of Daniel. But I confess this, that if we had the greatest minds in the world who could set aside the arguments of those who deny the book of Daniel, it would mean nothing to me in comparison to the precious words I have read you in verse 15 of Matthew 24. Why is it that I accept the prophecy of Daniel as a prophecy by Daniel? Because God's Son said it was a prophecy of Daniel, and that is enough for a simple-minded Bible-believing Christians. Now, even those who are against us, they see this argument as well. And seeing that argument, they say, why, don't you understand that Jesus knew that the book of Daniel was false, but he wanted to accommodate his message and his thinking to the beliefs of the people at that time, and therefore he pretended that he believed that Daniel was a true prophecy. You see, they have an answer for everything. Isn't that remarkable? You show them the evidence that the Son of God has spoken, and they say, no, he knew better than that, but he was just pretending that he believed in it so that he could get across his argument. Well, I don't have to refute that argument. It's not worth considering. Therefore, others that see how weak that argument is will use this argument. Oh, don't you realize that when Jesus became man, he emptied himself and he was ignorant and he made mistakes in so many things that he said. He thought Daniel was a prophecy by Daniel, but he didn't know. He was mistaken. He was ignorant in these matters. And so some people will accept that. In the will of God, in the next 2 weeks, I will show you concerning the Savior and the utterances that he makes. But just accept this now, that when the Son of God makes a pronouncement on any subject, it makes no difference whether it's a subject about heaven or whether it's a subject about hell or about history or about the future. It makes no difference. If the Lord Jesus has made a statement and we have interpreted that statement correctly, it is a correct statement and we may rest our souls for eternity upon it. And for that reason, understand that our Savior has said, Daniel, the prophet. What does it mean? It means that he believes that the book of Daniel and the whole, remember, and I must tell you this, there are those who are editors who, just as the Psalms, did you think that the 150 Psalms were written and suddenly one day they appeared, Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4? No. They were written over hundreds of years, and God inspires editors to take these Psalms and arrange them. And in like manner, there are prophecies by Moses and there are prophecies by Daniel, and at a later time, under the supervision of God, these editors will come and put this in it and that in it, but not something that is untrue. As when Moses would have died, then one, perhaps Joshua, would come and fill in the fact of Moses' death. We do not have to believe that Moses told about his death before he died. We do not have to believe that because the Lord arranges it. Let me just tell you this much. Luke says that he was one who examined all the manuscripts, all the sources, and he said, and then God inspired me to write this gospel which I write. So understand that when the Savior tells you that Daniel the prophet spoke these words, then Daniel the prophet did speak these words. All right. You say, thank God. My confidence is not in the wisdom of man, but it is in the veracity, the accuracy, the bedrock dependability of the utterances of the Son of God. And that's all that I need. And I have shown you that the Savior, not only Matthew who put it here, but the Savior as well believed in the truth of Daniel the prophet, and also the author of Hebrews believed in it. You see how God does not come out and say, I hereby declare that Daniel was a prophet written when he says he wrote it. He simply tells us indirectly, my time would fail me to tell you of men of faith, of one who stopped the mouths of lions. And all of us children say, why, we remember Daniel in the lion's den. That's Daniel chapter 6. So, we have these chapters that contain the prophecy concerning the abomination of desolation. At least that much of Daniel has been validated by our Savior. And that means Daniel 9, 11, and 12. All of those speak of the abomination of desolation. And Daniel in the lion's den, we have chapter 6 as well validated. And also we have chapters 1 and 2 that tell us about Daniel and the prophecy. You say, well, if he's guaranteed those chapters. I suppose he guarantees the rest of the chapters. Why, of course he does. And what our Savior has done is to deliver us from the modern teaching, which is this. They approach a book with this concept. There is no such thing as a man foretelling the future. It is impossible. The only thing the prophets were doing were telling of their own times, the things that immediately were to happen. And so you say, is that so? Micah 5:2, telling about one who is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And then we read that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. You say, why, that contradicts what the modernists tell us. Why, of course it does. And the Lord Jesus says, Daniel the prophet. Our Savior tells us that there is the miraculous element in this book, and he tells us that there is miraculous foretelling of the future by the inspired prophets. And therefore, I pick up this book, and I'm not confined to reading a precious portion. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I say, oh, I wish I could say that that was true of Christ, but I cannot. And when I read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, I wish I could see in that a prophecy of Christ, but I cannot. Do you not see what they're robbing you of? All of these things are prophets that foretold. And our Savior said concerning Psalm 110, how doth David in the Spirit say? And he is speaking of David, a prophet. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter calls David being a prophet. So, all of the authors in the New Testament believe in the miraculous foretelling of the things that are going to come to pass. And therefore, when all of these who are assured of the results that they have from their wisdom and their examinations of the Scriptures, and they would tear Daniel out, and tear Ezekiel out, and tear Matthew 24 out, and all of these utterances that our Savior has spoken, that they do not agree with, when they have torn them all out, you may laugh at them and say, you keep that Bible. I am keeping my Bible in its entirety because I know that there is such a thing as the miraculous, and I know that there are prophecies, and therefore I may believe all that Daniel spoke concerning not only the abomination of desolation, but also the coming of the Savior the first time, and the coming of the Savior the second time as well. You see how much consolation, how much strength is given us by simply reading and accepting what we have here. All right, I've told you those things. Now, I want to show you more. I want to show you that our Savior not only tells us about Daniel and the abomination of desolation that he speaks of, but in this portion, in Matthew, he tells us not only of the abomination of desolation, which is in 9, 11, and 12, but he also tells us about the great tribulation, which he picked up from the book of Daniel. Now, look in chapter 24, and I will show you. Look at verse 21. Our Savior says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, no nor ever shall be. Great tribulation, the likes of which there has never been. Do not lose your place, but please turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12. And listen to this verse. Verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time, so forth. You say, why, he's talking about this same great tribulation. Why, of course, our Savior believed Daniel 12 as well. Now, this is what is more profound, that our Savior, as to his entire life, his entire preaching, his telling about his coming the first time and his telling about his coming the second time are all based upon the book, the prophecy of Daniel. Turn to chapter 7 now in Daniel. I want you to see this. Daniel chapter 7. Look at verse, and I shall abbreviate it, and I had to smile when we sang the song, Ancient of Days. All right, look at verse 13. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto a son of man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. You say, why? This is a description of my Savior, the Son of Man, his coming. Why, of course it is. That's what I'm telling you. The Lord Jesus is basing his teachings about his coming again upon this vision that Daniel had in chapter 7. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And look at verse 26. And look at verse 64. They ask him if he's the Son of God, and the Lord Jesus confirms it. He acknowledges it. Thou hast said, verse 64, Jesus said unto him, Thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, from henceforth you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. This is a reference to the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 7. You say, then our Savior is structuring his teachings concerning the future about the prophecies that are in the book of Daniel. Yes. And if Daniel's prophecies are wrong, then our Savior's prophecies are wrong, and our hope for the future is destroyed. We have no hope. Because if our Savior is deluded into thinking that what Daniel said was true, then what he says is incorrect, because Daniel was incorrect, and our Savior is building upon the prophecies of Daniel. You say, why, this is incredible. I did not know that so much was dependent upon it. Oh, yes. And not only the Savior and his prophecies concerning the future, but also the entire book of Revelation is destroyed, because Daniel and Revelation cannot be understood separate from one another. You cannot understand Revelation without Daniel, and you cannot understand Daniel without Revelation. And you put them together, and you understand that as the structure of our Savior's prophecies concerning the future are based upon the book of Daniel, you will understand that the structure of the book of Revelation also is based upon the book of Daniel. You say, then, the Bible is a unit. Why, there is a continuity. Yes, and God has shown us that. So give up the book of Daniel, and you give up the book of Matthew, and you give up the book of Revelation, and you give up Thessalonians, you give up most of the Bible. Why, yes. And then if this is so, please tell me, if I'm reading my Bible, and I have to go to a wise man and say, well, may I have this chapter? No, you may not have that chapter. Oh, well, the next one? No. Well, what about this one? Yes, you may have that. Oh, I'm so glad. Aren't you rejoicing that you may open your Bible and read it and accept that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and that the Spirit of God has guided the New Testament writers into all the truth, and he has told them things to come? In the Upper Room Discourse, our Savior also spoke of the things to come, and he said the same Spirit that guided Daniel will guide you into all the truth. Therefore, if you give up the book of Daniel, you have given up the rest of the Bible as well, and I tell you, your salvation is lost. There is no salvation. Now, that is why, if I'm in my home, and I have the title deed by the authorities, and it is valid, I'm not going to accept anything that another man comes along and would try to invalidate that which is valid. And in like manner, the Lord Jesus is the only one who can put a stamp of approval upon what is correct and what is incorrect in the Word of God. And he has validated the truthfulness of the book of Daniel. And therefore, if you let someone come and take away Christ's validation papers, as I read to you in Matthew 24, and the other scriptures showing us that he believes in the prophecy of Daniel, then you deserve to be roaming the streets and to have no certain dwelling place because you have been taken by the wiles of the devil, and that upon which you base your salvation, that foundation that is immovable, has suddenly become sand, and you sink, and there is no sound standing place. But you and I do not believe that. All right. What I'm going to do now, since I've given you enough evidence showing you that the Bible is the Word of God, and that the book of Revelation also contains so many references to it in the will of God, I shall show you this in the next 2 weeks. I will speak a little bit more on the book of Daniel as other scriptures tell us about it, and from the book of Daniel itself, I want to tell you a little bit about Daniel from Daniel chapter 1. Look there for just a little. Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Now, we know what year that is. I took time, and that is why, when I'm given an assignment, introduce the book of Daniel. You don't know what you have to go through to introduce the book of Daniel, but this is the year 606 B.C. So this is what is spoken of here. I can't tell you now in detail. I may tell you more details later. But about the year 606, this is what is spoken of. This is when it occurred. All right. Nebuchadnezzar comes and he takes Jerusalem. And look at verse 3. It says, when he came, the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, even of the seed royal and of the nobles, youths in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and endued with knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in to stand in the king's place, and that he should teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. All right. And among these we find was Daniel. We are not even going to mention his three companions, but there was Daniel. Now, I'll tell you another thing or two about Daniel. He was in his teens, perhaps 14 to 18, when he was taken captive. He was one of the youths. And when you read about the other dates, he will designate when the prophecy of God came to him. You find out that Daniel prophesied, was on the scene for 85 years. And here he is when he gives the last of his prophecies and God speaks to him. He is perhaps 100 years of age or more. And God is still speaking to the man, giving him revelations. You say, that's a remarkable thing. That is what God does. Do you not see a comparison? Let me ask you, how old was Abraham when he gave him a son? You say, why, he was 100 years of age. And how old was Daniel when he received his last prophecies? You say, well, from what you told me, he must be about 100 years of age. Yes. So that's hope for some of us older ones. God can still use us when we get up about 100. And I'm not speaking about those in Genesis chapter 5 that lived 969 years. There are still those, and I remember Brother Charles Rose. He was still going strong when he was 98 and 99 years of age. He kept going, even though in a weakened condition, and then one day he suddenly died. But his mind was clear, and he was still writing, and he was still preaching up until the very time of his death. And so this is how it was with Daniel. Here is another thing that is so remarkable. If you read in the book of Ezekiel, you will find that he tells us that 593 is the date when he is writing, and then you read further, and in 592, one of his prophecies is given, and when this prophecy is given, it includes Ezekiel 14. You say, well, why do you tell us that? Because it means that within some 12 years after Daniel had spoken chapter 2, he has renown, and God in heaven is speaking about Daniel and his righteousness, and also later in Ezekiel chapter 28, Daniel is spoken of in his wisdom. You say, that is another remarkable thing. I can imagine someone in his mature years being spoken of as wise, being used an example of righteousness, but a man in his teens, well, let me ask you, how old do you think David was when he slew Goliath? And when God said concerning him, before he did these great things, he said, I found David a man after my heart. And so God is able to look into the lives and hearts of youths, and he sees in those hearts latent ability and righteousness and devotion. The way that he looked at Abraham and he said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I'm going to do, seeing that he shall do thus and so. And for that reason, what is so remarkable is that we have not an aged man. If you see a picture of Daniel standing before Nebuchadnezzar interpreting his dream, and you see a man with white hair and a long beard, you laugh at him. You'll see a youth probably still in his teens, and he is one who has committed his way to God. And the encouragement is that he continues in the service of God for 85 years. I rejoice in that, because I was just told last week at the conference, George Sharp standing up saying, do you have a retirement among the assemblies? He said, yes, go down the road 2 miles and you'll see a graveyard. That's where you retire. I'm so glad that we can still serve God to 100 years of age. But Daniel did it. But also you don't have to wait to be an aged one before God can use you. There is David in a physical sense, and there is also Daniel in a spiritual sense. And in this young man, it was seen that he had wisdom and he had righteousness, and God acknowledges him from heaven. Think of that now. Within some 12 years, God himself says from heaven, though these three men were before me, Noah, that was long ago, Daniel, some 12 years ago, when he interpreted Daniel 2, as I conjecture it, you figure it out and prove me wrong. And then it speaks of Job. He says, those three men were before me, yet would not my mind, and so forth and so on. So these are some of the things about the book of Daniel. Much more, the time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are glad that you can use young people, and we are glad that you can use old people. And you can use them from their youth to their old age. Our God, we rejoice in this. So help some who are young not to go to the far country and lose their reputation and become defiled by the things of the world and then come home and be used of God. But our Father, like Daniel, let them from their youth give their hearts to God, and then in their old age have a life of devotion, a testimony that spans 85 years, that they can look back and say, I've walked with my God, I've been faithful to my God all this time. So help us who are discouraged and think that we are now to be set aside because we are in our 60s or 70s. Let us realize, our Father, that you were still using Daniel at an advanced age, and you can use us as well. So commune with our hearts and use us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.